Darfur walked over and stood in front of Pitt.
Sir, I would consider it an honor if you'd allow me to obtain work on this dog.
Kanai looked at the big man and smiled. I stand remiss. I'd neglected your powers of persuasion, old friend. He's all yours. As Darfur turned to lay his rifle against a chair, Pitt suddenly uncoiled like a rattler and lashed out with his knee, catching the monstrous man in the groin. Darfur doubled over with a hoarse gasp of pain, but only for a moment. He recovered almost instantly and struck Pitt in the chest with both hands clutched together in a sledgehammer punch that forced an explosive gasp of breath and knocked him over a table, crashing to the carpet. Pitt had never been hit so hard. He came to his knees, heaving to put air in his lungs. He knew he could never take the giant down with his feet and fists, and he'd have required muscles the size of drainage pipes even to attempt any display of resistance. He needed a weapon, any weapon. He picked up a coffee table, lifted it high, and brought it down on Duffer's head, shattering the wooden surface. The monster must have had a skull of iron. His eyes seemed to go out of focus, and he swayed unsteadily, but he shook off the blow, rubbed his head, and launched himself across the room like a defensive guard against a quarterback. But Pitt was still agile enough to step aside and let the express train thunder past and crash into a piano. Pitt ran over and picked up the piano stool, preparatory to smashing it into Duffer's face. The blow never fell. Kanai brought the butt of his gun down on the back of Pitt's head. The blow did not knock him unconscious, but unleashed a sea of pain that dropped him to his knees, briefly causing him to black out. Consciousness slowly returned, and he became aware of Kelly screaming. As his vision cleared, he saw Kanai holding her at bay, twisting her arm until it was a millimeter away from breaking. Pitt was suddenly aware of being jerked to his feet by Darfur, who circled his arms around Pitt's chest, clutched his hands together, and began to squeeze. The breath was slowly, irreversibly being compressed within his lungs, as if he were being wrapped by a boa constrictor. As if in a dream sequence, he saw Giardino walk into the room and kidney-punch Kanai from the rear, doubling him over in agony. Kanai dropped the gun and released his grip on Kelly's arm. The other vipers froze, their guns now aimed at Giardino, waiting for the word from Kanai to shoot. The look on Defer's face reflected an air of disdain.
"Leave him to me," he said fiendishly.
In the same movement, he released Pitt, who fell in a heap onto the carpet, took two steps and swept Giardino up off the floor in a great bear hug, and held him with his feet in the air. Instead of Darfur towering above his opponent, they stared face to face, no more than inches apart. Giardino's face was expressionless. When Darfur had grasped him around the back, Giardino had lifted his arms so that they were free, and stretched in the air above the giant's head. Darfur ignored Giardino's raised arms and used every ounce of his strength to constrict the life out of the short Italian. Pitt, still dazed and in extreme pain, crawled across the room, drawing in great breaths, gasping in agony from his bruised chest and head. Kelly leaped onto Duffer's back with her hands around his face, covering his eyes and wrestling with him, twisting his head back and forth. Darfur easily broke her hold with one hand and tossed her away. But Giardino didn't need saving. He lowered his arms and tightened his fingers around Darfur's throat. The giant suddenly realized that he was the one who was staring death in the eye. The leer on his face turned to contorted fear as the air was cut off from his lungs, and he tried to beat desperately at Giardino's chest with his fists one moment and pry the steel fingers from his throat the next, but Giardino gave no sign of yielding. There was a horrible gasping wail as Darfur suddenly went limp and crashed to the floor like a timbered oak tree, with Giardino on top of him. At that instant, a fleet of sheriff's patrol cars and SWAT vans slid to a stop on the gravel driveway.
"Out the back!"
Kanai shouted to his men. Pitt tried to follow, but he was in no condition for a foot race, and he stumbled to a stop. It was late in the afternoon. Darfur and the two vipers that Pitt and Giardino had subdued were handcuffed and driven away in patrol cars to the sheriff's department and booked for the murder of Egan's security guards. Kelly and Thomas gave their statements to the sheriff's homicide investigators, followed by Pitt and Giardino. Later, Pitt and Giardino traced the killer's tracks to the high cliffs above the river, where he found a rope leading down to the water. "They must have escaped in a waiting boat," observed Giardino. "Do you think the vipers will talk under interrogation?"
"It really wouldn't make much difference if they did," said Pitt. "The Viper organization probably works in cells, each ignorant of the other. As far as they know, the chain of command stops with Kanai. I'll bet none of them is aware their true bosses sit in the corporate offices of Cerberus."
Kelly walked across the lawn from the house.
"You too hungry?"
"I'm always hungry," Giardino said, smiling.
"I fixed a light dinner while Josh mixed the drinks. He makes mean margaritas."
"Dear heart," Pitt put his arm around her waist. "You just said the magic word."